The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
It tells of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and the splitting of the sea, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Shira, the singing of the praises and the song which Moshe and Klal Yisrael sang after they went through the Red Sea. Now the Psukim tell us from Pasuk Chof Aleph, Shmeishu Dalet, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayet Moshe Es Yodei Al Hayom, Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, Vayelech Hashem Es Hayom Beruach Kodim Azo Kol Alaylo, and Hashem brought a strong eastern wind for the entire night, Vayosem Es Hayom Lecharova, and he made the sea into dry land, Vayiboku Hamoim, and the water split. Sages tell us, doesn't say that the sea split, but the water split, all of the waters in the world. Vayavol b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayom vayabosho, and the children of Israel went through the sea on the dry land, Vamayim lehem chaymo, mimi nomo misma elom, and the waters were a wall to them, from the right and from the left. And Egypt chased after them, all of the horses of Pare, their riders, their chariots, into the sea. And as it was getting in the last part of the night, towards morning, and Hashem looked down at the camp of Egypt through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he shook up the entire camp of Egypt. And he removed, he took off all of the wheels of their chariots, and they weren't able to go, they were dragged along. And Mitzrayim, Egypt, said, Anusa mibnei Yisrael, that we are unable to do anything. Circumstances beyond our control, because God is fighting for them in Egypt. And Hashem said to Moshe, stretch out your hand on the sea, and the waters will return on Egypt, and the chariots, and the riders. And Moshe stretched out his hand, and the waters returned towards the morning to their original strength, and Egypt was going right into the waters. And Hashem shook up and broke up Egypt in the sea. And the waters returned, and it covered the chariots and the riders and all of the armies of Pare, which were coming behind them into the sea, and not one remained. And the children of Israel continued to go through on the dry land in the sea, and the waters were a wall for them from the right side and from the left. And on that day Hashem saved Israel from the hand of Egypt, and Israel saw Egypt dead on the shores of the sea, that the sea had ejected Egypt, all the Egyptians, onto the opposite shore. And Hashem saw the great hand which Hashem did in Egypt. Israel saw the great hand which Hashem did in Egypt. And they feared Hashem, and they believed in Hashem of Moshe Abdoi. And in Moshe the servant, and then Moshe sang together with the children of Israel this song, Hashem vayemru, and they said lemor. The Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, was the final point of the Exodus. because until then they were still in danger. As Paro and his armies pursued Klal Yisrael and wanted to do them harm or bring them back to Egypt. So this was the final rung in the Cherus, in the freedom, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu executed for Klal Yisrael. And this was the greatest miracle that took place. All of the other miracles were miracles, like we mentioned a few weeks ago, were miracles in certain aspects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck the river, or he struck the earth of Egypt, so forth. And therefore, it was referred to as Etzba Elokim, the finger of God. While this miracle, this was Derech Kloli, this was a miracle which affected the entire creation. As it states, Vayiboku Hamayim, that the water split, the Nemar Hayam El Hamayim, not only the sea, but all of the waters in the world. And therefore it was referred to as Ayad HaChazoko, Ayod HaChazoko, a strong hand. A finger, this is an individual aspect of the hand. But the hand is a kloli, this encompasses, all encompasses. And it was a different type of miracle, a different level. And also the other miracles, the other makis, were used basically to bring affliction to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Well, this makah, this was not, it's not called a makah because this was used as a hatzolo. It was used to allow Klal Yisrael to miraculously escape. And when they came to this level, where they saw this great miracle, and it was the final hatzolo, so then they came to Oz Yoshir Meisha as Ashir Azais. That Oz Yoshir Meisha v'nei Yisrael, that Moshe and v'nei Yisrael came to the level of Shiro, where they wanted to sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This evening, let's spend some time making some observations and comments on the Shiro, and basically on the beginning of the Shiro with its first three psukim. Now the Shira begins with Oz Yoshir Meisha, Es HaShira Azais. Then Meisha sang this song. The sages tell us that there's a special reason why it starts with the word Oz. Oz has a special significance. The Medrash brings that Oz is a word which is used many times when it comes to praising the Almighty. Medrash says, "Bishor she'omru Yisrael oz Yoshir lovash HaKadosh Baruch Hu choluk shel tiferes." At the time when Yisrael said, "Oz Yoshir, then we will sing," HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he put on a mantle, a garment of beauty, shohayu chakukim olov kol eish oz shebetera. And engraved on this mantle was all of the words Oz then, which is written in the Torah. Oz tismach besula b'mochel, b'mochel oz yudalek ayul pesach, and so forth. And the Medrash brings many places where Oz was used to praise. Kivin shechotu, choze v'koru. Later on, after the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael sinned by the golden calf. So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mantle and he tore it. V'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'achzirei she'nemar oz yemolei shchek pinu. And in the time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put his mantle on again. As it states, then our mouths will be filled with laughter. Oz yemolei shchek pinu. There's another Medrash which states, Rabbonin Amri kol pak machi shel meisha lohoisa eleba oz. That we find that the word oz is interlinked many times in the Torah with Moshe. Oz itzalt nefesh, itzalt be oz, vayorif mimeno oz omruch chosen domim lamulais, me oz bosi el parei, Oz Yoshir, Oz Yabdil Meshe Shlesh Orim. Many times in the Sefer Torah, Oz, the word is related to Meshe. What is the meaning of this? Then there's another Medrash. This is in the Mechilta, where the Medrash says, Yesh Oz L'Sho'avar V'Yesh Oz L'Osilove. The word Oz then can refer to a past tense, something which took place in the past, and it also can refer to a future tense. It brings Oz Huchal Likre B'Shem Hashem. Then they started to call in the names of gods. Oz Omro Chosin Domim Lamulis. Then he said Chosin Domim Lamulis. Oz Yoshir. This is in the past. Yesh Oz Lo Osid, and it brings many cases where the word Oz can be a future tense. Now, generally, a word must be either a past tense or a future tense. This word can be used for both. Now, what is the meaning of this? Concisely, we've spoken about this in the past. Klal Yisrael reached the level that the sea should split for them because they became elevated. They elevated themselves above the physical nature. Now you take a human being, he's made up of physical components and spiritual components. If the physical is misgaber, if the physical component is his master, then his spirit becomes a slave. If the spirit is the master, then the person is elevated beyond physical levels, and the physical becomes a servant to his spirit. The same thing in regards to nations and people. If people become subjected or subdued to other physical forces, then they are slaves. If they rise above physical forces of other people or other nations, then they are free. This is what took place in Egypt. Pesach is called Ha-Cheruseinu, the holiday of our freedom. Now freedom, although it does mean, like the popular context of the word, freedom means political freedom, but that's a narrow limitation of the word. A person can be politically free and he can still be a slave. He can be a slave to materialism. He can be a slave to false ideologies. He can be a slave to his passions. He can be a slave to influences of other people. But freedom in the true sense of word means that a person elevates himself beyond all physical forces to the point where his spirit prevails. And then he's free. And this is the process that Klal Yisrael went through when they were in Mitzrayim. Egypt oppressed them and enslaved them. And Egypt drove Klal Yisrael into the depths of slavedom. But because of the great spirit in Israel, and the great spirit that they inherited from their fathers, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the spirit of Yosef, so they threw off all of these influences. They threw off all of these shackles. And they freed themselves, they liberated themselves, they elevated themselves above and beyond these forces. First, it has to start in the individual himself. Like we see from Yosef himself. Yosef was in Egypt. He was a slave to Potiphar. He was a prisoner in the dungeon. He was enticed by the wife of Potiphar. He rose up to the court of Pharaoh, where there he had all of the influences and temptations of the high echelon society of Egypt. And still he remained Yosef. He never changed.
He refused to allow himself to be subjected to slavery in the full sense of the word. They were unable to enslave him. And this was the great power that he left with Klal Yisrael. So the process of freedom, of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, was a process of freeing oneself from his own self, and then freeing oneself from all physical forces which surround him. When they came to this level, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no physical forces can stand in their way. Not even the sea. Water is one of the great forces of creation. But water is from the physical creation. If Klal Yisrael is at a level of spiritual height, spiritual perfection, then the waters must separate for them. So therefore, Vayiboku Hamayim, all of the waters in the world split. This is what caused the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Now this level is a level which is Al Hateva, beyond the physical forces, physical nature. Because within the structure of the nature, the waters do not move. They don't move for anyone. And this is why the word Oz was used. The Chazal tell us that Oz is Aleph and Zayin. Aleph and Zayin, this represents 8. And Aleph is 1 and Zayin is 7. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Maaseh Bereishis, the entire creation, in 7 days. With Shabbos. But beyond the creation is the spiritual power that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is represented all the time with the Aleph. The Medrash says, what is Aleph? Ani Echod Vato Echod. One. The Almighty came to reveal himself to Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai. He revealed himself with an Aleph. Onechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. The first letter they heard from him was the Aleph. Why? Because he is the one, he is the only and the singular source of all creation, of all entity. And this is what Aleph represents. And the word Aleph means Aluf, master. So Oz means the Aleph which is over the Zayin, master of the physical nature. This is what the Kriyas Yamsuf was, the splitting of the sea. And therefore, Moshe started to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Oz. This is why this word is used in reference to the Almighty many times, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Aleph which rules over the Shiva Shemei Bereishis, the 7 days of nature. This is the level of 8. And this is why this word so many times is used in reference to Moshe, because Moshe also was this. Moshe was a man who constantly freed himself and elevated himself beyond the forces of nature. And this is why that this letter, this word, is not a past tense and is not a future tense. It can serve both. Because this is a word which is separated from time. Everything in this world is a part of time. So therefore it must represent something of the past or something of the future. But time is linked definitely only with this world. Why? Because time is the calculation of the movement of the sun, which moves the entire solar system. If there would be no movement in the solar system, so there would be nothing to calculate. You could wind up your clocks, but it would be calculating nothing. So time is governed by the sun. The sun is the greatest force of the physical nature. But here we're speaking of freeing oneself, of elevating oneself beyond physical nature. So therefore a word oz was used, which represents something which is separated, detached from time. Therefore it can refer to future tense or past time, past tense, because it's detached from time. It's not part of time, it's not part of the physical nature. So this is why Meshe began with Oz Yosher Meshe, and the Chazal, the sages, elaborate on this word. In the first three praises which Meshe sang, is Oshiru LaHashem Ki Ga'oi Go'o Sus V'Rechvoi Romba Vayom. I will sing to Hashem because He is Go'o Go'o. The word Go'o comes from the word Ge'us, Go'on. Very, very great, exalted. I will sing to Hashem because He is very exalted. What does it mean? Go'o Go'o Go'o. He is exalted even over the exalted ones. Sus v'rechvei roma v'ayom. He took the horse and the rider and cast them into the sea. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted over the exalted ones? The Gemara in Masechet Chagiga on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara brings the Gemara says, "Ma'idiksi v'ashiru LaHashem ki ga'ei go'o." What does it mean? I will sing to Hashem because He is exalted over the exalted ones. Shira lemi shemizgoya alagim. We will sing. I will sing to Hashem, who is exalted over all of the exalted ones. The Omar Mar Melech shebechayos ari, because we have learnt the king of the wild beasts is the lion. Melech shebebehemos. The king of the domesticated animals is the shor, it's the bull, the ox. Melech sheba ephes, the king of the birds is the nesher, the eagle. The odom is goy alehen, and man, he's exalted over all of those three. Ba'akodesh baruch hu, mizgoy al kulam, ba'al kol ha'elam kula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu exalts himself over all of those. And then the Gemara explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a chariot. He has a chariot, he has a throne. And on his chariot, in each corner, he has the face of one of these creations. The face of the lion, the face of the ox, the face of the eagle, and the face of man. Because each one is a king. And man exalts himself over all of these three, because man is a king over all of the tachtonim. In the lower creation, man is king. And incidentally, the Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, Tzurasi shel Yaakov Avinu. Who is the face of man? Jacob. Because he was the most perfect of all men. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in the throne, he sits in the chariot. Because he is Ge'ol Go'o, he exalts himself over the exalted ones. So therefore, Moshe said, "Oshir LaHashem Ki Ga'ei Go'o," that I will sing to the one who exalts himself over all of the other exalted ones. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Maral in the Gevuras Hashem, he explains in Perek Mem Zayin and Daf Kuf Pei Zayin, he explains the great gifts and attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world are four, and those four are like mentioned in Masechta Ovis Perek Dalet. Eze Chochom, like it states, Eze Chochom, Eze gibor, eze osher, eze mechubad. Who is the wise person? Who is the strong person? Who is the wealthy person? Who is the mechubad person? Who is the person with honor? So these are the four gifts, the four attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world. Wisdom, physical strength, wealth, and honor. Because these are so precious, see, he didn't give all of this to one creation. He divided it up. Wisdom, this he gave to man. Only man has wisdom. He's the king of wisdom. Gvura, strength, this he gave to the lion. See, a lion is stronger than a man. He's the Melech Shebachayas, the king of the Chayas. So this he gave to the lion. Wealth, now this is something which we have to understand. Wealth, he says, this he gave to the bull, to the ox. Why? A bull, an ox is not wealthy. Wealth is the physical richness that a person has. But we're more interested in what it does for the person. The Gemara tells us, what does wealth do for a person? It says, it's called Eskole Yakuma Shebaraglehem. Wealth is what allows a person to stand on his own feet. Zehamomen Asher Maimid Odom Al Raglo Venesen Lechesek. Wealth is what allows a person to stand on his own feet, support himself. Like in English, we use the word who is supporting you. What does it mean, who is supporting? It does mean who is physically holding up the person. Who is financially supporting this person? Or are you self-supporting? Are you self-sufficient? Wealth is the power which allows a person to be self-sufficient, which allows the person to be self-supporting, independent. In other words, it gives him this independent strength. Now, of all of the creations, the animal, the creation with the strongest independent strength is the ox. Even though the lion is known as the gibor, then he's known as the gibor because with his gvura, with his gibor, with his power, he can go and destroy others. But when it comes to an inner strength, a strength which sustains a person, independent strength, this is found by the ox more than any other animal. This is why the ox is always chosen for the heaviest work. You wouldn't use other animals for heavy works. When it comes to the plowing, when it comes to pulling wagons over mountainsides, the ox was used. He was the balkeach. And this is depicted in wealth. So this was given to the ox. And then we have the gvura. Oh, we mentioned that. That was given to the lion. And then we have the kovod, the honor. Honor was given to the eagle, because honor is the quest always for a person to be above others, for a person to excel above others. And the eagle rises higher than any other creature. Fact is, generally all creatures are very shuffled, they're very low. They crawl along the ground. The eagle has the greatest elevation than all other creatures. So these different attributes HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided up. The wisdom he gave to man and the gvura. Now gvura, the word gvura, gibor, actually gever. Sometimes a man is called a gever, and that comes from the word gvura. Gvura means to be misgaber, because he wants to overpower someone else. Like it states, Ezu hu gibor, hamisgaber al Yitzray. Who is a gibor? Someone who can overpower his nature, his own nature, can command his own nature. So this was given to the lion. The lion can overpower other creatures more than any other animal. And the independent staunchness, strength, which represents wealth, this was given to the shor, to the ox, to the bull, and the kovod, the honor, the quest to elevate oneself, this was given to the eagle. Now man exalts himself over all of these three, because with seichel, with chokhmah, this you can outwit, or you can make up for any shortcoming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he exalts himself over everything else. Therefore, when Moshe said, "Oshiru l'Hashem ki ga'ago o'," let us sing to Hashem, because he is exalted over everyone else who exalts himself. He was referring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over everything. HaKol tachas rishusai, everything comes within the domain of Hashem. Therefore, we must praise him. There was the horse and the rider. Now the rider of the horse is also exalting himself. He exalts himself over the horse. He rides the horse. He masters the horse. The horse becomes his humble servant. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the master over all, he took the rider and cast him into the sea. The sages tell us that this refers specifically to the Shoresh Shel Mitzrayim, the angel of Egypt. We saw the angel of Egypt riding. What does it mean? He was riding on a horse. He was riding on the shoulders of Egypt. See, Egypt, they saw in the illustration of a horse. And the angel of Egypt, they saw as the rider. Because the rider is the one who masters the horse. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him, Roma Bayom. The word Roma, there's two words. There's the word Roma and the word Yoro. Yoro means to cast down. Roma means to cast up. From the word Reim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the rider that was exalted over Egypt, and he lifted him up. He lifted him up and then threw him into the sea, together with the horse. It states, the Chazal bring in the Medrash, that when Klal Yisrael saw the Shoresh Shel Mitzrayim, the angel of Egypt, being cast, being lifted up, and from high being cast into the sea, from here they came to say Shira, because they saw the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he ruled over everything else. So therefore they said, Oshiru l'Hashem ki ga'ago sus v'rechvoi roma v'yom. This is the first posuk. The next posuk is Oziv Zibros Ko by Hi Lilishua. They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my Oz and Zimro. Zimro means my song. What does Oz mean? Oz means strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my strength and my song. By Hi Lilishua, and for me, he was a salvation. The Mechilta brings what does Oz refer to? Ein Ozi Ela Torah. There are four opinions the Mechilta brings. First opinion is Ozi is Torah. Shenemar Hashem Oz La'amo Yitein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Oz to his nation. That refers to Torah. Dovar Acher Ein Ozi Ela Malchus. Another opinion is Oz refers to kings. Shenemar Hashem Bo'ozcho Yismach Melech. Dovar Acher, another opinion, Ein Ozi Ela Tokef. Oz refers to strength. Shneman Hashem Uzi, Ozium Uzi. Dova Acher, another interpretation, Ozer Umisamech Atolacholbe Olam, Avalibi Yeser. Oz comes from the word Ozer, Kodesh Baruch Hu is my aid, he is my assistance, he helps me, he supports me. He supports everyone in the world, but Libi Yeser, but especially me. So there are four opinions as to what Oz means. Everyone agrees that the word Oz refers to strength. But the differences of opinions here is what aspect of strength we're referring to. One says Oz refers to Torah, the other says to kings, to strength, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance. Now the Gemurah Hashem explains as follows. All of this was given to Israel. Israel is a very strong nation. In fact, as the Gemara brings, that Israel is Asibu Umais. Israel is the strongest of all of the nations. And we see this. How do we see it? Because behold, over Dora Imdim Aleinu Lechaleseinu, in every generation, great empires rise up to destroy us. It was with Babel, and it was with Modai Uparas, and it was the great Greek Empire, the great Roman Empire. Every generation, Omdim Aleinu Lechaleseinu, they rise up to destroy us. And we see as time goes by, the great empires crumble into dust. Only the archaeologists retain interest in them. And Klal Yisrael, Od Avinu Chai. Klal Yisrael, Yaakov is still alive. And we see that throughout all of the generations, nations have tried to persuade or to coerce Klal Yisrael to give up their Torah, give up their Jewishness. And we see, Baruch Hashem, Torah is still here, Yiddishkeit is still here. And this comes from strength. Yisrael Azin Shebumas. That Yisrael is the strongest of all of the nations. The question is, where does their strength come from? So each opinion here in the Medrash is giving a different aspect of where their strength comes from. First opinion is from Torah. Must realize Torah is strong. Why? Torah is referred to as an Esh. Esh Das Lamay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Torah is the fire. And the fire is strong. Nothing can stand in the way, in the path of an oncoming fire. A fire will go straight. It doesn't divert its path. It consumes. And this is how Torah is. Why is this? Because Torah is not physical. Torah is spiritual. Contrary to public opinion, popular opinion, people think that physical is strong. Actually, the physical is very weak. It's the spirit that's strong. First of all, physical, the physical will crumble away. Physical decays, the spirit doesn't. But secondly, you see that physical elements are constantly and continually subject to change. The physical world constantly, continually changes. Change is an intrinsic sign of weakness. Because what changes? When something becomes influenced, becomes affected, becomes overpowered by another influence, then it changes. If you would have, for example, take the hardest of all physical elements, for example, take the diamond. There you'll see there's a minimal change, because what can affect a change on it? But otherwise, the physical world constantly undergoes change. This means it's constantly affected. It's constantly influenced. This means that there are constantly forces over it which are stronger than it. And this is what causes change. So actually the physical world is very weak from this point of view. The seichel of man, the intellect of man, when it's in its proper perspective and can free itself from the influences of the physical world, doesn't change. It can keep coming to greater wisdom. Perhaps you can see a truth today, and tomorrow you'll see even deeper in it. The next day you'll see even more. That might require a change, but that's not a change. It's more of a graduation process. You're seeing more all of the time. But intellect does not change. An example, truths. If something is an ultimate truth, then it doesn't change. If you have a value that today it's true and tomorrow it's not, then it's not much of a value. It's not a truth. And this is why people with a strong seichel have limited change in their life. People with a weak intellect are constantly living in change. And this is why Torah is called a fire. There's no change by Torah. All of the mitzvahs of the Torah, all of the principles of the Torah, all of the values of the Torah, they remain the same from the time they were given until the end of time. There is no change, because they cannot be affected by any force, because they are above and greater than all forces. And when this was given to Klal Yisrael, so this gave them a tremendous strength. And this is why, for example, it states, Aaron Leishino. A praise was given to Aaron that he didn't change. See, he didn't divert. And this we see with Israel. So this is what it means. Ozi v'zimros ko, Hashem is my strength through our Torah. From here we learn a very important principle. Actually, today we live in a time of total instability. We're speaking here of stability. We're living in a time of total instability. We're living in a time of total confusion, of total darkness. Basically, this comes because people do not think. They do not let their minds rule, but rather outside influences rule. In other words, they are not elevating themselves to the level of the seichel of the intellectual, but rather they are letting their physical forces rule. People open up a newspaper and they'll read what it says and immediately they're affected. They'll hear something from a neighbor and immediately they're changed. They see something on television and it affects them. They read something that affects them. They see something they like and they change their principles, they change their policies. It means there are no principles, there are no policies. It's just a matter of a whim, whichever way the wind will blow. If you have a tree that's strong, then no wind will blow it in any direction. What bends in the direction of the wind? Something that's weak. This is the world that we live in today. And the problem arises because people are not thinking. Rather, they are following. They are being influenced. They are constantly being affected. And this is the physical level. This is not the intellectual level, and surely not the level of Torah. This is one of the secrets why Klal Yisrael, Bechaldova, Doraim Dimaleinu Lechaleisenu, that in every generation they tried to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael didn't change. Because of the strength of Torah, because it's at the physical level, people are influenced. But when it comes to spiritual values, this remains. So this was the first opinion. The second opinion of where the strength comes from, these opinions do not disagree with each other. Rather, one is adding to the other. The second opinion was from the Malchus, from kingship that was given to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were given kings. And there's no doubt that this kingship gave a pillar of strength to Klal Yisrael. There was Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. There was Dovid HaMelech, Yehuda, Shlomo HaMelech. Kings are always, or supposed to be, a cornerstone of strength, of leadership for the nation. Leadership represents the strength of the nation. Leadership gives strength to the nation, if it's proper leadership. But Klal Yisrael in particular, kings gave strength, because the kings of Klal Yisrael had another level of Kedusha, of sanctity. When we anointed our kings, we anointed them with shemen, with oil, which was Kodesh, which was sanctified. When a king took his office in Israel, he became commander on more mitzvahs of the Torah. There are certain mitzvahs of the Torah that was given only to kings. This represented a higher level of Kedusha. And Kedusha, sanctity, always represents a strength. Why? Because sanctity is something which is divided, which is separated from the physical level. Sanctity is something which is above the physical level. And as we mentioned before, all change and wavering has to do with the physical level. So this is a second aspect of the strength of Klal Yisrael. The third aspect was Ein Oz Ela Tekef, the inner strength. Yisrael were given an inner strength. And this they inherited from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. That by nature they are a strong nation. Because of the children of Avraham. Avraham was known as the pillar of the world, Amudei Shel Elam, the pillar of the entire world. The whole world changed. And not Avraham. The whole world went to serve idolatry. Not Avraham. The whole world went away from truth. Not Avraham. So there was an inner strength. And this was inherited by the children. So this is another aspect of their strength. And the fourth aspect of their strength is Eimer u'mesamech ato, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives special strength to Klal Yisrael. He assists all people of the world, but a particular assistance, a particular support, he gives to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Mesh is saying, Ozib, and from four aspects do we have this strength. From the Torah that was given to us, which is the strongest force of all. From the kingship, leadership that was given to us. From an inner strength that we have as a nation, being the nation from the Ovis, from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And then a special hashkocha, a special assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we go now to a third posuk. The third posuk is Ze keli vanvehu elekei ovi varamemenhu. This is my God, the anvehu. Anvehu, we'll see in a minute what that word means. Elekei ovi Varamamenhu, the God of my father, and I shall exalt him. Rashi brings, what does it mean, Zekeli? This is my God. Bichveide nigla alehem. At the time of the splitting of the sea, the miracle was so great, and they reached such heights to the point where they could almost see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they would point and they would say, Zeh, this is my God. A simple maidservant saw more that night than the greatest prophet saw. They came to such a height in prophecy, to such a height in Ruach HaKodesh, in sanctity, that they could almost see, they could see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they pointed, and they said, Zeh keli vanvehu, this is my God, ve'anvehu, elekei ovi varamamenhu, the God of my fathers, I shall exalt him. What does the word anvehu mean? So Rashi brings two or three explanations. In the sources, there's actually four, in the sources, are in the Gemara and in the Medrash. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Omed Beis. Now, it's on Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. This is my God, Anvehu. What does it mean, Anvehu? From Loshen Noer, beauty. That you shall beautify him. How shall you beautify him? He's Noer Lefone B'mitzvahs. Beautify yourself with his mitzvahs. Ase Lefone B'sukkah Noer. If you make a sukkah, don't make any type of sukkah, but make a beautiful sukkah. And then you fulfill the mitzvah of Zekeli Vanvehu. This is my God, and I shall beautify him. Because you cannot beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So therefore, beautify his mitzvahs. Lulav Noah, you buy a lulav, it should be a beautiful lulav. Shefer Noah, you buy a shefer, it should be a beautiful one. Tzitzis Noah, beautiful tzitzis. Sefer Teira Noah, a beautiful Sefer Teira. Uksev bei lishmai, b'jay Noah, b'kulmiz Noah, b'lavler umen. Ukarche b'shiroi Noim. When you make a Sefer Teira, you should get good ink and a good parchment, and you should engage a sefer, a scribe, which has a beautiful artistic hand. And then you should buy beautiful mantles, you should make beautiful mantles for the Sefer Torah. And this is the way that you will be anvehu, you will beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one interpretation we have is hidur mitzvah. The Gemara calls hidur mitzvah, beautify mitzvahs. Second interpretation, Abishol Eimer Vanvehu Hevi Demele. Anvehu means, from the word, you should make yourself similar to him. Rashi brings Hevi Demele Anvehu Anivahu. The word anvehu is anivahu, I and he. Make yourself similar to him. That's what it means, anvehu. How do you make yourself similar to him? Mahu chanum derachum, afato chanum derachum. You must emulate all of his traits. He is good, you must be good. He is compassionate, you must be compassionate. He is sanctified, you must be sanctified, and so forth. So these are two interpretations. Actually, Rashi brings a third one from Unkelis. And all four of those three plus an additional one are all brought in the Medrash, in the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, "V'chiyef shelo odom li novei says kemei." Is it possible for a person to beautify Hashem? What does it mean? This is my God, I shall beautify him. So first it brings the opinion that anveil b'mitzvahs, you must beautify his mitzvahs. A second, it brings Abishoel that you must make yourself, you must make yourself similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emulate him. Then, Rav Yosi Omer, Agi Na'esav Ushfachov Shel Mish Omar V'Hoya Elam Bifnei Kol Umesa Elam. What does it mean? Anvehu, Rashi also refers to this. Anvehu means I shall beautify him by singing his praises before all of the nations of the world. I will sing out descriptions of his beauty before all of the nations of the world. Rashi writes this. He says as follows. Anvehu loshen noi asaper noyov. I will tell his beauty, ushvachei, and his praises, lebay olam, to all of the people of the world. Kigayin madeitcho midei deidili tzach ve'aydim v'chol ha'inyan. Like Shlema Melech did. King Solomon wrote Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. In Shir HaShirim, he constantly lavishes praises of the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's fulfilling anvehu. This is my God, I shall beautify him, I shall tell of his beauty bifnei kol umes ha'olam, before all of the nations of the world. So that's a third interpretation. A fourth interpretation that's brought, Rabbi Yosi ben Durmaski Seymer, evnelei migdosh, I will build for him a sanctuary. Shnema ves novehu heshamo. The word anvehu is not from the word beauty, noveh, noya, but the word novehu. Navehu means a home. Zekeli v'anvehu, this is my God, v'anvehu, and I shall make a home for him. How will you make a home? You'll build a Beis HaMikdash. This is brought in Rashi also from Unkelus. Now, we can ask here, firstly, we brought the halach of Hidu Mitzvah, that you're supposed to beautify mitzvahs. You shouldn't use a lulav that's not nice or a shefer that's not nice. What does that have to do with the Shira? And in particular, what does that have to do here with Zekeli v'anvehu? They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from here now we talk about halacha of Hidur Mitzvah, that you must beautify the articles of mitzvahs. Here we were speaking of the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his covet. So that's one question. Second question is what's the relationship of all of these different interpretations? This one says that you should beautify his mitzvahs. This one says that you should make yourself like him. Ani lei. Make yourself deme lei, similar to him. Another one says that you will speak out his praises to the world. And the third one, and the fourth one says you will build a home for him. What is the relationship of all of these together? The Maral brings, he says as follows. When Klal Yisrael came to this tremendous level, and they had this great revelation, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, that a maidservant even saw more than the greatest prophets. This created a tremendous closeness of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, they said, Zekeli, this is my God, and they pointed with their finger. A tremendous closeness, a tremendous dveikus, and a tremendous hishtekikus, a tremendous yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they saw the majesty of the Almighty, and they saw what the Almighty was doing for them, this created a tremendous yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a servant sees the greatness of a king, what does he want to do? He wants to make it beautiful. Now, you cannot make the king himself beautiful, especially HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because beauty in our concept is something which is physical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. When a servant sees the majesty of a great king, he wants to show the world that majesty. He wants to show the world that beauty. And this is what Klal Yisrael wanted to do. When they saw the greatness of the Creator, then the creations wanted to bring that beauty out into the world and show the world this beauty. Therefore they said, Zekeli, this is my God, the Anvehu. And I will bring this beauty into the world. Now, all of these interpretations are just different directions, different ways and means how to bring that beauty into the world. But this is what they wanted to do. Zekeli, this is my God. They saw what they never saw before. They saw Marek Fedei. He showed them his glory and his majesty. So they all yearned, Vanvehu, I want to bring this beauty into the world and show all of the nations. Therefore, one way of doing it is through his mitzvahs. When you fulfill his mitzvahs, if his mitzvahs are made beautiful, then this reflects his beauty into the world. People see his mitzvahs. If they see a person has a talis or a lulav and it's not beautiful, so it doesn't reflect his beauty into the world. that they see a beautiful pair of tefillin, a beautiful lulav, a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful Sefer Torah. Right? A Sefer Torah with beautiful writing, beautiful paper, beautiful parchment, beautiful mantles, beautiful silver. Right? This reflects the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. So ze keli ve'anvehu, the mitzvah of Hidr mitzvah, to beautify his mitzvahs. Abba Shaul comes along and he says there's another way in which you can reflect, you can project HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty into the world. Another way. Not only through his ma'aser mitzvahs, through the acts of the physical mitzvahs, by adorning the physical article, but you can project his beauty into the world through yourself. Hevi Deimelo. If you make yourself similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is good, you are good. He is compassionate, you are compassionate. He is truthful, you are truthful. Then you will project his beauty into the world to all of the nations. Because they will see, this is Yisrael. This is the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be very beautiful if his people are so beautiful. And this is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. What the Rambam brings, he brings it from the Gemara in Yuma, how important it is for a Jew to act properly, not only from the aspect that he should be proper, but from the aspect of what the reflection and projection will be to the people of the world. He says, if you see a Jew, and he's careless in his dress, he's careless in his manner of speech or the way he walks, or he's careless in his cleanliness, or he's careless in the way he does business with other people and so forth. Ma'emini ma'vriyes, what do the people say? People say that this is, I don't want any part of this. Especially if he studied Torah, people say, then I will not send my son to study Torah. I don't want him to be like this. This is a desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you see a person who projects himself properly in the way he dresses, in the way he talks, in his dealings with people, called Vore Benachas, he speaks kindly with people, he's patient with people, he concerns himself with people. His Masor Matan, his business ethics are beyond suspect. What do the people say? The people say, see how beautiful the ways of Torah are. Plainly, Loma Teira, this person went to and studied Torah, look how beautiful he is. I also want my children to study Torah. So Abba Shaul was saying, Zekeli v'anvehu, when they saw the majesty, the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they wanted to project that perfection into the world. So he said, you don't have to do it through the articles of mitzvahs. You can also do it that way. But there's a better way. Through the perfection of yourself. If you perfect yourself, then you're projecting the beauty of the king into the world, because every Jew is a servant of a king, is an ambassador. If not, then you destroy his beauty. He brings then Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says, "Agi na Esav u'shvachav shel misha amar v'hayayilam b'fnei kol u'meisayilam." He says, "How will we beautify Hashem? I will say praises. I will write about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say praises of beauty about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will be neged u'meis for all of the nations of the world, like King Solomon did." King Solomon wrote of the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wrote it for the whole world. Now he brings this. He says this is not only for the Jews. Many times people think that amongst Jews we have to behave ourselves. See? But amongst the goyim, amongst the nations, what's the difference? Not so. The Yesi says, "Agi na'esav u'shvochav shel mishama v'ahilam b'nei kol umesa elam." I will say praises and beautifications to the Almighty in the presence of all the nations of the world. The Maral writes, "Bir zeki Yisrael heim kovera kodesh borchu negera umes." Yisrael represents the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of the nations. Bameh shenire kedushas Yisrael v'teirosam u'min hogom zehu haid v'teferes Hashem Yisbarach sh'olakehem. That when they see the sanctity of Yisrael through their Torah and through their customs, through this they understand the beauty and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's the obligation of Klal Yisrael to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to sanctify and to project the beauty of the majesty of the Almighty b'fnei kol ha'umos, before all of the nations. And this is how we do it. Not like people think, many people, they make a gross error. They think that amongst the goyim you can do what you want. It tells, the Tells of Rosh Yeshivas used to say, Meshe used to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would say, how can you want to kill off the Jews in the desert? Loma yemru agoyim, loma yemru amitzrim. What will the Egyptians say? You took out a nation into the desert and you killed them. What will the goyim say? He says, why was he so worried what the Egyptians would say? Or what the goyim would say? Because the duty of a Ben Yisrael, of the nation of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has to carry the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the entire world. And this is Kiddush Shem Shemayim. This is what Avraham did. He brought the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the entire world. And if, heaven forbid, they disgrace the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, this is Chilul Hashem, Shem HaGodol. This is the desecration of the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one of the most severest averus in the Torah. So this is what Rabbi Yossi says. He says, "Agid na'osav u'shvochav shel mishama v'ayelam b'fnei kol umes ha'elam." How will I beautify Hashem's name? I will say praises of beauty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of all the nations of the world. Then the Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis emer, fourth opinion is, I will build for him a sanctuary, a mikdash. Why? I will build a Beis HaMikdash, which is a physically beautiful building. It's physically beautiful and it's sanctified. If you want to project the glory of a king into the world, how do you do this? You build him a beautiful palace, a beautiful castle. So, we're speaking here that they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Majesty, and they want to project it into the world. He said the way to do this is Anvehu. Anvehu is Loshon Noveh, which means a home. Build a home for him, a mikdash, and people will see the beauty. Godol HaKovod Shel HaBayis HaAchrein. They will see the great honor and beauty of the palace. From here they will understand the great majesty of the king that lives there. Then they said, Elokei Ovi V'Ramamenu. This is the God of my fathers, and I will exalt him. Ze keli v'anvehu, Elokei Ovi V'Ramamenu. Rashi brings, this is the God of my fathers. It's not something that he just happened to do for us, but he was the God of our nation all of the time. He was God of our fathers from the very beginning, from Avraham, from Yitzchok and Yaakov. He was with us all of the time. So this is an additional reason why we must praise him. These are the three first psukim of the Shiro, which Meisha, what he is doing, is actually giving reasons why we must sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praise him. Before he started the Shiro, he said, Oz Yoshir Meisha, with the word Oz. And we explained why. Because Klal Yisrael came to a level, what caused the splitting of the sea? When they totally liberated themselves from the physical forces, and they were above the physical forces, and the sea split. And therefore he used the word Oz, because the word Oz is a word which represents the Aleph over the Zion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual force which rules over the 7 days of the Yemei Bereishis, of the creation. And then there were three praises which Moshe started with, each one giving additional reason why we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First of all, Ashira LaHashem Ki Goy Go'o Sus V'Reich V'Roma Bayom, we should sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's exalted over all others, over all of the beasts, and over a man who exalts himself over the beasts, and over all of the others who exalt themselves. Therefore we must sing out to him. Then, he has given us particular strength. Klal Yisrael is a strong nation. He gave us strength through the Torah, and he gave us strength through Malchus, through kings and leaderships. He gave us strength, an inner strength that we have through inheritance, and he gives us a personal hashkocha, he keeps a personal eye on us. Vayili Lishua, and this is why he brought a salvation to us. So this is an additional reason why we must praise him. And then thirdly, Zekeli Vanvehu, when they saw his great majesty, and they saw it so clearly they were able to point with a finger and say, "There, this is my God." And they saw the beauty of it, and they wanted to project its beauty into the world. And Elokei Ovi Varamamenu, and this is not the first time he has appeared to us, but Kfar Muhsekes, he is already with us from our fathers, in particular with our nation. So therefore, we must sing out to his praises. This is how Moshe started the Shira, and from there he went into different aspects of praises for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this gives us some insight into the level which Klal Yisrael came at the Kriyas Yam Suf, and the level which brought them to the Shira, and some insights into what Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael sang. We should be zeicher to learn from these miracles and witness these levels of miracles and Shira in our times also.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.